Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah indeed. If you listen to modern counselors or even mass media on the topic of shame, you will probably hear a message that tells you, well, there's really no such thing. If you feel shame, it's just a bad emotion that you need to kind of get rid of or ignore. You have never done anything in your life that you should be shameful of. That's just something negative. Put the negative out. Think about the positive. And maybe there's a small amount of truth to that in certain circumstances. If Christians are persecuted for believing what is right and are shamed for believing what is right, yes, they should just ignore it and take it, because if they hated Jesus, they will hate you too, and that's fine. But biblically speaking, shame is not something that can simply be brushed off. It's not something that can simply be ignored. And if you go to the very first garden in the Bible, the Garden of Eden, and you see Adam and Eve there, and when they fall into sin, they are ashamed. And that shame serves a purpose. It tells them that they are naked before God. It tells them that they stand uncovered, that they stand unable to cover up their own sin. That's what shame is for. It's to show you, to show Adam and Eve that they were poor, like we confessed, poor, miserable sinners. They were ashamed. And whenever you have shame because of sin, the first sinful human reaction is to try and cover it up. But not to try and cover it up the way that Jesus is going to, which we're going to talk about, but to try and cover it up with false things, with distractions, with the little things around you that you think might distract from the shame that is deep inside you. And so they take some little fig leaves and they sew them together and they try and make for themselves something to cover their shame, but it does not work. And you know how that is. If you've ever had shame, shame because of a sin, shame because of a mistake you've made, shame for any really reason at all in your conscience, and you try and just lie your way out of it, or you try and go and distract yourself with it by getting on that mass media, or you try and distract yourself with it by pills or whatever the distraction may be, or if you try and do some good works to try and temporarily feel like you're not ashamed, but you're proud of yourself, none of it ever really works. It never actually deals with the problem deep down. Because shame has to do with relationships. It has to do with your relationship first with God and with one another. And if that relationship is not first fixed, you're always going to feel that shame down inside. Shame serves a purpose. It shows you that you are a sinner. It shows you that you are like your father Adam. It shows you that when you come before God, when you take seriously God's glory and also his wrath, you stand naked before him and you need to be covered. That was true in the first Garden of Eden, and it's been true in your life in ways I am not even aware of. But it was also true in another garden. In another garden in Mark's gospel. This is not in our readings for today, but I'm going to read it now because I think it is fundamentally important for understanding Mark's account of the resurrection. In a different garden, two chapters earlier in Mark chapter 14, in a different garden, if you remember in the sequence of things about 2 or 3 days ago, the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus was arrested. In Mark's account, there is a certain young man who is following Jesus. He was one of Jesus' disciples, one of Jesus' followers, someone close to Jesus if he was in the garden with him on that night. And he is clothed with a linen sheet upon his nakedness. And they were attempting to seize him, that is, the guards. The guards were attempting to seize him. He was with Jesus, who they were trying to arrest. And when they tried to seize him, they reached out and they grabbed his garment, but he fled, and his garment came off, and he ran away naked. It's a kind of odd detail to include in a gospel account of Jesus Christ, but it is there, and I think it's important. For there's a young man with Jesus, who sins. He deserts his Lord. He flees like all the other disciples, like all the other followers of Jesus. And he deserts his Lord. And he is ashamed for it. He is, like his father Adam, naked for it. He is standing there ashamed and naked as his Lord goes to the cross. He runs away. He runs away trying to cover his shame. He runs away trying to cover his sin. He runs away trying to get to a place where people will not see how shamed he is. But that doesn't work. Like the fig leaves, like your lies, it doesn't work. God sees. God looks into the depths of the human soul. God looks into the depths of the ship. He sees where Jonah is hiding. He knows exactly what is going on. And I think that story, it is vital to understand what's going on today. And I'm sorry I've taken so long to get to the glory of the resurrection. But when we come to the glory of the resurrection, when we come to Mark's gospel account of the Easter story, what do we find? And entering a tomb, the women saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. Entering the tomb, they saw a young man. And I think Mark, when we see this young man, he wants us to think of the young man that fled away naked. Before Jesus' crucifixion, before Jesus' resurrection, in the other garden, there was shame and fleeing and sin and attempts at cover-ups which did not work. But in this new garden, in the garden of the tomb of Jesus Christ, in the garden of the tomb of the resurrection, there is now a new young man. A young man that once was naked. A young man that is now covered. A young man that is sitting in a different garden of hope. That is the message of the resurrection. That is the message that Mark is telling us, that in this garden, it is a new garden. It is a garden unlike the old garden of Adam, where we fell away from God. It is unlike the garden of Gethsemane, where we fled from God. It is unlike any garden before with thorns and thistles, but this garden is a garden of hope. Because in this garden, your shame, it can be covered. For what did your shame tell you before? It told you you were a sinner. And what did that sin earn you? Nothing but eternal death, separation from God. And could you cover your own shame? By no means. The relationship must be fixed. What is the problem with shame? The problem is ultimately sin. And so only by the forgiveness of sins, only by the fixing of our relationship with God, can our shame truly be ever covered. And so come to this garden with the women this morning. Come to this garden with the young man this morning and sit where Jesus once laid. Sit where Jesus once laid, because there are cloths of white robes, cloths of the righteousness of Christ. That is what the young man is now covered in. Not fig leaves, not lies, not deceit, not good works, not anything trying to attempt to cover himself that will one day fall away. But robes that are put there in the tomb by Christ himself. Robes that can actually do something. And they actually do something because they are Christ's robes of righteousness. That's what the young man tells you. Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, the crucified one. And that's what the text actually says, by the way. It's not Jesus who was crucified. That's kind of a bad English translation. It's Jesus, the crucified one. That's his proper title. You seek Jesus, the crucified one. He is not here. He is risen. You see that shame can now be covered. The reason that your sin is now forgiven, the reason that your shame is now covered, is because Jesus, the one who is crucified, the crucified one, and now is risen, the risen Lord, he has done it for you. For look at what Jesus did when he became the crucified one, when he became the risen one. When he became the crucified one, he went to the cross and he hung naked. Naked before his Father in heaven, naked and shamed on the cross, bearing your shame, bearing your sin, bearing the wrath of God meant for you. And he did not just leave it there, but then he took all that shame, took all that sin, and buried it with him in this glorious tomb. He took it and he buried it, and he left it there. He left it there, never to see the light of day again. And he rose. He rose in white robes. He rose in robes of righteousness. He rose giving you robes of righteousness, giving you new life. New life in your baptisms. We were therefore buried with him by baptism into his death, so that just as he was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too also might walk in a new life. For we have been united with him in his death and in the likeness of his resurrection. Christ bore our shame. He bore our sin. He bore all our weaknesses, all our mistakes, all of everything we come with that is deep down and ashamed of that we try and cover up. He bore it all on the cross. And if he did that, and if we have been buried with him in our baptisms, and if we have found unity with him, if our relationship has been fixed with him, then also we rise with him in his resurrection. We rise with him to live a new life. And so come and be like this young man this morning. Come to the tomb and see how the young man that was once naked and ashamed has a completely new life. A completely new life where he gets to sit there and tell the good news of Jesus Christ. A completely new life where he has no worries. No worries that his sin could condemn him. No worries that the Lord's wrath would be too much for him. No worries that this evil world could overcome him and make him ashamed again. For he has the robes of everlasting righteousness, and those do not pass away. They are not like our lies. They are not like pills. They are not like the mass media. They do not pass away. They last forever. And so we too, you have eternal life in your Lord. You have died with him, and you have risen with him. No more shame, no more a sinful life earning death, but now only glory, true glory from your Father, a life lived to God. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed, and now we join in the festival. And having that new life, having those robes of righteousness, what does the young man say confidently to the women? But go. Go and tell, dear women. Go and tell what you have seen here. Go and tell the disciples. And the disciples will go and tell the world. Go and tell. Tell everyone that he is risen. Tell everyone that the crucified one lives. Tell everyone that the Lord has defeated sin on the cross. That the Lord has defeated the devil in his burial and descent into hell. That the Lord has defeated death by rising again to new life. And that you live in him in all of it. That it is all yours. That life and that death, but that new life is yours. And he has covered your shame. And you don't have to try and run away. You don't have to try and cover it up anymore. For you have confidence that even though you die, no matter what may come in this life, be it pandemics, be it cancer, be it death of loved ones, be it anything, any suffering that come in this life, even though you die, even though those things come, yet shall you live. For Christ is raised from the dead, and you are raised with him, and you are confident in that message. And so tell everyone that it may be theirs too. Tell everyone that they may have the same glory, the same confidence, the same joy that you have. And then, like the women who went and told the disciples, but then they also brought the disciples back, keep coming back here. Keep coming back here, the place where you receive that blood and water that gushes out of the crucified one's side. Keep coming back here where you keep hearing the message of joy in the resurrection of Christ. Keep coming back here where Christ always stands ready to forgive your sins whenever that shame creeps back up in your conscience. Keep coming back here, for he has promised you eternal life. And it is yours today at this altar. It is yours today from this pulpit. It is yours today in the fellowship of the believers. To him be all the honor and glory and power forever. Amen. Christ is risen.
He is risen.